is a bit different because usually we are, I mean, this side is a lot heavier than this side. But today, a group of people, they went to Rotorua, is that right? And they have their own worship, I guess. Not sure with mass or without mass. But so today is a different scene as the few weeks before in the past. But we are still continue on reading Abraham's story. And come to the fifth time. For those people who usually join a canon service, we were talking about the second part of the series, but now you suddenly jump to the last one, the fifth and the last one. And it's the second test. It start with, let's see if this works. So it starts right at the beginning. Is that sometime later God tests Abraham? It was the final examination. Among you who like, I noticed just the start of the term and start of the year, and I shouldn't mention about exams and tests, but who actually like tests and exams in your past? None of you? Some of you must be. You don't want to tell me. In the past few weeks, we have taken a look at the different episodes of Abraham's life. Seems that he have a lot of, have gone through a lot of things. Sometimes he did well, sometimes he fell just like us. He lied, right? You have to remember. Those episodes are like quizzes, like in our life. I'm not sure whether your school will have, suddenly the teacher will bring out some paper and then give you a quiz. Just like our life. As every day goes, as we do this and that, we follow Jesus as we live, we go through those quits. But this time, Abraham sat through the final test. Why did God give him this test? Was that God didn't know how much Abraham trusted him? Do you think Abraham trusts God? Until now, you have seen so many things. Although sometimes he failed, but he trusted God. If we know that, God would knew. God surely know that whether he will obey or not. So in our life, we don't have such a huge test like this. Do you know who else in the Bible have this kind of like advanced level test? Have gone through those things. Give me some names. Jesus, yes, that's right, for sure. And Job, maybe, who else? Not many people. So this morning, I'm not trying to convince you that you need to give up your son or daughter. That's not something we try. I'm not trying to convince you need to give up, the things that you treasure most to show that your obedience. Because God is not a strict father who set up obstacles and tests to force us to grow in faith. So I need to ask again, why did God give Abraham such a test? It's not that God didn't know. God knew about that, whether he trusts him or not. So if it's not for God, it's for Abraham. The test was for Abraham himself to know concretely how much he actually trusted God. The test in our lives are for us to demonstrate our faith, not to God, but to demonstrate that to us. When you look at things that happen in your life, you know that whether you are trusting God or not. So that we know that whether we're ready. When God calls you, you know that whether you're ready or not. Or we are just fooling ourselves, coming to church every Sunday, but actually we don't trust God. When God called Abraham, what he said? He answered. What's his answer? He answered, "Here I am." He was ready. Just like servant standing next to the master, whenever master called, he's there. Here I am. Ready to serve. Are you ready? Some people may say, "Let me finish my high school. Let me finish my uni. Let me get a good job, let me have a house, let me pay off my mortgage, let me have a family, let my children grow up, and what else? Let me take off every single items in my bucket list, do things that I want to, then I'm ready. I mean, you won't say that, but maybe that's the truth. Abraham said, "Here I am. Let me serve you whenever, whatever you order." This is a goal not just for us to admire, oh, Abraham is so great, but a goal for us to practice. Each morning as you wake up, I encourage you, you pray to God. I've done something, but I said that. No, doesn't matter. I encourage you to have a practice. It's, every morning, you pray to God, try to say, "Here I am." Say to God. And ask God, "What have you got in store for me to obey you?" And then God said, "Take your son." God said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." It's only like first two, and then you want to close the Bible. And first one of the reason that we are not willing to say, "Here I am," is that we don't want to hear this. I want to take away, if God asks you to give out the thing that you treasure most, the only thing, the beloved thing. Think about that. What was that in your life? What is the thing that you're not willing to give even to your best friend? And now God is asking for that. Burnt offering of my only beloved son. As if our Lord is a cruel God who loves sacrifice of human flesh and blood of the people that we love. Honestly, this has created a lot of misunderstandings. Many people misunderstand God until they know that He actually did that. He actually sacrificed His only, the one and only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to save each of us. Many people still misunderstand God even after we know Jesus Christ, after we know what happened. Although that we knew that God would stop, you have read the scripture, that God actually stopped Abraham at the last second, but we still feel that. God loves taking away our beloved things, or beloved ones, in order to test our loyalty. Have you had that feeling, or you still have that feeling now? I have to tell you that. No, God knew that. God knew your loyalty. God knew whether you will obey or not. The test is for us to see our own faith. Which we couldn't see that unless we are actually put under those tests. The test is not to take away, but to grow, to strengthen you, to give to you, so that you see clearly how your life is like. So it helps you not to fool around. But it's hard to accept that we actually are not willing to give back what God has given to us. I mean, you know that all sorts of things in your life is from God, it's God's gift. But when God asks about that, to ask you to give it back for a second and say, "No, that's mine." It's hard to accept that we hold on to things that we treasure more than hold on to God. It's hard to accept that we say we follow Jesus, but we have our own plans. We have our own plans. Are you one of them? Do you feel like your current life stage, the state of life, is like you like it so much? Or you have some target, you have some dream that you want to move to, so you're not ready to respond to God's call? I'm not sure whether Abraham has his daily routine, but after he received this call, he got up early in the next morning. He went. He was ready. It was tiny, but I will reach you. Yeah. Oh, it's a little bit better here. If you have good eyes, you can see. So Abraham didn't wait. In a way, and I say, next year we'll do that, I will arrange my holiday, or I will I'll talk to my boss. He just, early next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God told him to go. And on the third day, I think it's like sort of reminding that on the third day, Jesus rose. I mean, it's like pointing to that. Abraham looked up and saw the place in distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together. The phrase went on together keep happening. It's like three times. So that's why it's the whole story is divided into three parts. The first part is, it ends with Abraham putting the wood that Isaac is going to be on that. And Abraham himself take the fire, is going to start the fire, and the knife. Imagine the scene. Like that. But then the two went on together. So now it's just Abraham and his beloved son, Isaac. They went on together. Isaac would be the one who followed God's plan and hold on to God's promises. You know, after Abraham died. So now it's time for him to learn. So Isaac asked his father, Father, how would that happen? I mean, Abraham said, yes, my son. The fire and wood are there, but where's the lamb? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide. And then two of them went on together. Abraham didn't ask. Abraham is like teaching this time. He was about to offer God his one and only beloved son. He didn't ask question whether his son will be alive again after being sacrificed or what would happen. Instead, he answered that question to his son. That he said, God himself will provide. God is willing to give up anything for God. He trusts God to that extent. That's the meaning of fearing God. And then when they reached the place that God told him about, Abraham just built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took his knife, ready to slay his son. But then the angel of the Lord called out and stopped him. Abraham, stop! He said, here I am. Yeah, he is willing to slay, he is willing to stop. The angel said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld anything. You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. This morning I want you to think about, are you withholding anything from God? Is God your first priority? The first thing in next morning, if God calls you to respond, put your hand up if you think that God is your first priority in your life. Anyone? None of us? That God is your first priority. You're willing to do that? Put up your hand if you're not withholding anything from God. Is there anything you're withholding? No one is putting up your hand. Maybe you're thinking. But it's not just a hand. I mean, God didn't just ask Abraham, put up your hand if you're willing to sacrifice your son. No, he said, go and sacrifice your son. So you will go through those tests in your life. God will ask you to do things. And try to do that. Try your best to follow that. And that will show, you will demonstrate to yourself whether you are willing to give everything to God. Yesterday morning, during the Cantonese prayer meeting, I heard a sharing from a sister. And it's so matching with today's theme, so I invite her to share with you on things happened perhaps in the last year, about that time. We have Sharon.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sharon, by the way. This morning, I'm going to share with you about the intimate relationship I have with my dad and how it relates to my relationship with the Heavenly Father during a recent reflection. My dad has been and still is a hero in my life. He's someone I always look up to even now. He has been the rock of my life. And we share everything about our perspectives in life. And he was my role model since my childhood. About 2 years ago, I asked him to write a biography about his life. And I'm sure it will be full of interesting stories that are insightful and inspiring. He had cancer about 5 years ago and went to Auckland Hospital for radiotherapy by bus every day. I occasionally drop him off on my way to work. My dad never complained about the treatment or any side effects following the radiation. He always had his chin up, and later he recovered. However, about 2 years ago, the cancer relapsed. So he had to undergo some hormonal treatment, which managed to control the cancer. My dad moved in with me about 3.5 years ago. Last year, he suddenly vomited badly on Valentine's Day. I took him to the hospital and thought he might have food poisoning. A specialist immediately performed gastroscopy procedure on him, and he was discharged a few days later. After several days, his doctor informed my dad and I that he had stomach cancer. I was in shock, but my dad was very calm and told me he had lived a long and good life. Probably he got sick of me. I suddenly realized my strong rock had been pulled away from under my feet. In the past, whatever troubles I had in my life, my dad was always there for me. Suddenly, I saw my giant fell down for the first time. I did not realize I was psychologically and emotionally attached to my dad. Fear struck me. I prayed to God every day that he would give him more years to live. And we often refuse relinquishment and remain blind to our attachments. It never dawned on me that my marriage, family, career, security, and all my resources were sometime I unknowingly attached to. At that moment, I felt helpless and powerless. I was facing potential loss of my dad. He went through 5 weeks of radiotherapy, but the doctor said the treatment only reduced the tumor and it might not be a cure. I accompanied him to the hospital every day and treasured the time we spent together more than anything. On the 10th of January this year, my dad had a review with his doctor after a CT scan. The CT scan was done last December to check whether the radiotherapy, the treatment was successful. Before I went to that appointment with that, I was prepared for the worst outcome am ready to take my dad through another round of radiotherapy. Somehow I pray God's will be done. If he was not going to answer my prayer, I was willing to surrender to him and prepare to let go of my dad. When the doctor told us that dad's cancer was clear, it took a few days for the good news to sink in my mind. I was overwhelmed with joy. God took me through an emotional and a mental dark valley for the last 12 months. However, I tasted his goodness through the journey. He proved to me that only he is my rock. David said in Psalm 21, "For the king trusts in the Lord. Through the unfailing love of the Most High, he will not be shaken." I'm now standing on this rock, and I will not be shaken in facing any weakness, loss, or failure. In hindsight, I guess the good Lord showed me his mercy, because he knows that I may not have any dose of physical or mental energy to go through another tough test. I'm not Abraham. Are you dealing with regrets, pain, struggling with some issues in your lives, or facing numerous disappointments? I'm willing to learn how to let go when God says so. Now I learn to live in the present, but with a renewed perspective of eternity. Psalmist say in Psalm 33, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our heart rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, as we put our hope in you." Amen.
God is good. He's the giver. He loves to give. He loves us. It's nothing he keeps for himself, not giving us. He provides. He always provides the best in the best time. In Abraham's story, in our brothers and sisters' story, you see that. It's real life testimony. When Abraham looked up and there was a lamb there, was there already. He just didn't see it. But I mean, to Abraham, I think he's pretty sure that he knew that God will provide. That's how he explained to Isaac. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide." And at the end, they set off together again. The Lord provided a lamb for Abraham, and Abraham got back his son. The son was again given by the giver. So I would like to ask you to focus not on the gift, no matter it's something or someone that God has given to you, focus on the giver, the Lord. One day, Abraham will lose his wife. That's actually the next chapter. One day, he will lose all the gifts that God had given to him. One day, he will lose his life. But from now on, he went on together with other people who are also obeying God. Next time, when God calls him, he will say, "Here I am." What about you? I would like you to reflect on that question as we share the communion today. The communion bread and cup always remind me that Christ is living in us. As we share Christ's body and blood, we remember what Jesus has done for us. Remember what Jesus has commanded us to do, what he has sent us to do. But are we still withholding anything that we're not willing to give up? Reflect on that. Let's pray before we have the communion together. Dear Lord, we give thanks to you because you are the one who give us this opportunity to be here. You're the one who call us your children. You're the one who give us brothers and sisters. You're the one who give us all the good gifts in our lives. You're the one who give us life. And now give us this table for us to reflect on whether we are willing to share with you. And even when we're not ready, you're willing to share with us. So Lord, we give thanks to you no matter what. But Lord, we ask you to change.